Shalom, everybody. Today is Yom Rivi'i v'Shabbat, the fourth day of the week. And in the fourth aliyah of Parashat Miketz, we have 23 psukim. In this aliyah, the famine begins. Yosef foretold about this famine, and it begins. Yosef opens the storehouses, and he sells the surplus. Meanwhile, in Eretz Kanaan, Yaakov sends his sons to Egypt. They appear before Yosef. He recognizes them, but they do not recognize him. Yosef deals with them very harshly. He accuses them of being spies, and he throws them in jail for 3 days. Now, as just mentioned, when the brothers are brought before Yosef, the Torah says in Perek Mem Bet Pasuk Chet, Vayaker Yosef et Echav, Vehem lo hikiruhu. Yosef recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. And throughout this entire story, the brothers have no idea that they are dealing with their brother Yosef. However, there are a number of incidents in this aliyah and in the rest of the parsha that raise question after question. How in the world did not one of them think that this was Yosef, that something strange was going on here? Not a single one of the brothers ever thought for a moment that this might be Yosef. First of all, they know they didn't kill him. Maybe Yaakov thought Yosef was killed, but they knew the truth, and they knew he was sent to Egypt. More than that, Rashi, Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, who died in 1105, quotes the Medrash in Pasuk Hei that each brother entered the city through a different gate. And yet, despite the fact that we hear in Pasuk Nun Zayin that people from the region, thousands and thousands and thousands of people come into Mitzrayim, they, of all the people, are singled out as spies. Someone was looking out for them. And not only that, but the brothers, when they are arrested and accused of being spies, they're brought before the number two person in all of Egypt. Every two-bit spy is brought before the busiest person in all of Egypt. Shouldn't any of this raise some suspicion among at least one of the brothers? And when they are brought in front of this incredibly powerful man, the Medrash Rabbah in Parashat Tzadi Aleph Piska Vav says that this man is able to divine that two of them destroyed Shechem. And he's even able to tell them private conversations that they had when they were children. And the same Medrash in Piskei Yud says that this man was able to say what type of wood their cribs were made of when they were little infants. And again, none of the brothers even raised a doubt about that something fishy is going on here. And let's not forget that this was the same man who was using divination, maybe Avodah Zarah it seems like, to say all these strange things, is the same man who says, Et ha'elokim ani yareh. And let's not also forget that this is the same man who in the next aliyah frees almost all of the brothers, the people he has just accused of being spies. He frees them all just to bring their youngest brother back to him. Now, it is true that the brothers will say, Aval Ashemim Anachnu, there's a certain level of tshuva, but even that admission does not involve recognition that this man is Yosef. And these are just a few of the many, many, many questions we can ask on this aliyah and on this parsha. And all of these specific questions point to the same general question. How is it possible that not one of the brothers even once raised the possibility that maybe something is going on here, and maybe that this is their brother Yosef? How can this be explained? So these and many other questions are asked by the chief rabbi of the old city, Rav Avigdor Nevinsal Shlita, in his Sefer on the Chumash, Sichot LeSefer Bereshit, beginning on page Shin Tet, and he offers the following beautiful answer. Again, it's a very long essay. I'm only saying a couple of things. If anything is not clear, it's my fault completely and not his. But in short, Rav Nevinsal says that the brothers were stricken with cognitive dissonance. Because of the decisions that they made so many years ago regarding their brother Yosef, they simply could not have any doubts about who Yosef was. He was a Rasha, and he needed to be eliminated, period. And once that was a fact in their mind, everything else that they saw in Egypt with the second-in-command person, everything they saw could not point back to Yosef. It was, if that was Yosef, said the brothers, then his dreams were real. Then he was not a Rasha. Then he did not deserve to die. And what does that make us? We can't even fathom that. So no matter what, we cannot allow ourselves to accept the fact that maybe, maybe, maybe we were wrong. And Rav Nevin Saul concludes by saying that we all have a little of the brother's thinking in all of us. We all sometimes get locked into a certain way of thinking about a certain event, about a certain person, about a certain situation, whatever it is. We get locked in and we don't allow ourselves to think any other way. Of course, this is the wrong way, a dangerous way to go through life. The brothers eventually do tshuva. They decide to see the world differently, and so should we. Have an amazing day, everyone.